Good morning. This is your good friend Dan in Little Saigon, Seattle. And it is February the 2nd, 2019. And I already had one podcast I technically did this morning, though it was closer to midnight, but it was after midnight. So I called it the morning. But is it really the morning, or is it the wee hours of the morning? I really don't know. The topic for today is conspiracy, and before I go too far, I try in my podcast not to revisit old terrain, but every once in a while it's worth doing. Like, for example, with the subject of free speech, I care about free speech because it is, in my opinion, a necessary guard against tyranny. And perhaps on a deeper level, a force multiplier for human survival, the sharing of information, the discussion of ideas, especially when it is the discussion of ideas, instead of using force to convince people to agree with you, it is the discussion and debate of ideas without force. So free speech is important. But, you know, I've already talked about that in a few podcasts, and I don't really want to revisit that. The subject this morning, as said, is conspiracy. Now, one of the first questions that someone might ask is, you know, what is a conspiracy theory? And as a lot of researchers have come to realize, conspiracy theory is a kind of public relations concept developed by the CIA and the FBI in the 1960s to describe a set of beliefs around things like the assassination of JFK or the other assassinations. And it was an attempt to silence people. You know, I really don't know what happened on November the 22nd, 1963. I really don't know for certain, but there are people who have legitimate questions about the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And these crazy people are called conspiracy theorists. They come up with crazy theories. They're paranoid. They're delusional. They're crazy, right? They're insane. If you define conspiracy theory in terms of what the deep state or the status quo would say, a conspiracy theory would be a kind of, you know, disorganized conglomeration of different facts, and in many cases, according to the powers that be, falsehoods that when put together create a kind of view of the world that is not true and involves people, organizations working against you. I mean, that's part of conspiracy, right? That there are more than two people, not just one. That would be just an enemy. You know, you have an enemy, but there are multiple people working together against you or others. That's a good definition of conspiracy. And to have a theory about it would be to say, well, I know who is doing it. I know why they're doing it. And I want to take action. In 1970, the U.S. government passed the RICO Act. Now, what is the RICO Act? The RICO Act is Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. Essentially, the RICO Act was an attempt by the U.S. government to deal with organized crime, also a conspiracy, two or more people involved in a secret organization to commit crime. This is a conspiracy. In criminal law, conspiracies are well understood. The most interesting forms of crime, I shouldn't say interesting, maybe the better word is destructive, some of the most destructive forms of crime involve conspiracies. They involve lots of people because that's kind of how you rip people off or abuse people at a high level. You organize a team. If it's one person stealing from your wallet, that's a thief. If it's the Federal Reserve working together in secret to debase the dollar, well, that's a conspiracy. Okay? That's a corrupt situation. And to have a theory about it would be a conspiracy theory. Here's another kind of conspiracy. Surprise parties. For those of you who don't believe in conspiracies, have you ever been to a surprise party? Has anyone thrown a surprise party for you? And better yet, has anyone ever thrown a surprise party for you and you really didn't know what was going on, like you were caught by surprise? Well, even though it's not malicious, I mean, maybe not, but probably not malicious, that is also a kind of conspiracy, two or more people working together to do something directed towards you in secret. There is an inclination to describe all conspiracies in negative terms. I don't know if that works. I think sometimes people conspire because it's their only option. There's no public space for discourse. I don't want to, like I said, revisit other topics like free speech. But when you shut down people's ability to organize in the open, when you shut down people's ability to communicate ideas in the open, they will go underground. Christianity, after the death of Christ in the first century AD, went underground, okay, to avoid persecution, especially in Rome, especially in places where Rome had power. They went underground. Now, that's a kind of conspiracy. And from the Roman government perspective, from the emperor's perspective, it's probably a terrible conspiracy. One could contend that Nero, in his madness, had a conspiracy theory about Christians that he proposed. The Christians burned Rome. The Christians are destroying Rome. Of course, one can never really know for sure who started the fire in Rome under Nero, but Nero had a conspiracy theory. And that theory was probably wrong, but that's my point. People having theories about two or more people working against them, it's not a new phenomenon. It's not special to the 1960s, and it's not solely about the insane. I can accept the idea there are crazy people who are convinced that the whole world is working against them. I, for one, am really not one of those people. I kind of find myself on the middle ground of the question of conspiracy. Do I believe there are people who organize in secret and in the process of organization are doing things against the behest, against the welfare of ordinary people? Well, yeah, I do, okay? During the Cold War, nearly 500,000 Americans, okay, these are civilians, these are volunteers and conscripts into the military. These are a lot of ordinary people were experimented on with radiological materials. This happened. This is a matter of public record. That was a conspiracy. Our government conspired to poison Americans in order to find out what the effects of radiation would be. This isn't hypothetical. This isn't crazy. Nobody's wearing a tinfoil fucking hat. This actually happened. Under the Kennedy administration, the Kennedy that, you know, well, the only Kennedy, but under the Kennedy administration, our government, the CIA and the military, came up with a project, a plan called Operation Northwoods. And this was a plan to make it look like the Cubans attacked the United States. They had a plan, a conspiracy proposal under Northwoods to kill Americans, to drop chemical weapons on them, to machine gun them, and then blame it on the Cubans. That's not a conspiracy theory, that's a conspiracy fact. Now, thankfully, they never implemented Northwoods, but there was a little thing called the Gulf of Tonkin, I think shortly after JFK died, right, where our government claimed that the North Vietnamese attacked us with torpedoes. And that became the pretext for the Vietnam escalation, not the Vietnam War. In many ways, the Vietnam War had been ongoing since Vietnam was a French colony. It was like a never-ending war. Okay, the French were essentially dealing with it, and it was like, here's the baton, America. Now you can go kill some Asian people again. The Gulf of Tonkin is a real thing, and any historian worth his or her salt will tell you what I'll tell you. It was bullshit. It was a false flag. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's a conspiracy fact. So, with respect to what a conspiracy is, conspiracies are real. And to have a theoretical, excuse me, to have an intelligent or rational description, a hypothesis concerning organizations that are at work in these contexts of conspiracy, that would be a conspiracy theory. If a district attorney or, you know, some high-level lawyer in the Department of Justice is investigating organized crime, they will develop a conspiracy theory, some of it based on facts, which police can gather, you know, with respect to evidence, but often it's based upon things like intuition and reason and logic and the understanding of the domain. Yes, it's a mixture of the empirical with the theoretical. It is a conspiracy theory, which, given that we're still kind of a common law country, and given that we are supposedly still innocent until proven guilty, I smirk and laugh when I say that, because I don't think that's true in America any longer. I think people are guilty until proven that it's okay for them to be not guilty. I think that's currently it. It's not guilty until proven innocent. It's guilty until someone comes along and says, comrade, let this one out of the gulag. That's how our system works now. But if you actually believe our justice system is still based on a kind of notion of innocent until proven guilty, which sounds like cartoon bullshit to me, then it is incumbent upon an attorney, specifically a prosecutor, to prove in a court of law that the conspiracy theory is conspiracy fact. And there are many cases where conspiracy charges are brought against people, where RICO charges are brought against organizations, and those prosecutions fail. Do we call the prosecuting attorney a tinfoil hat wearing crazy person? We probably should, according to the way that the media attacks people who develop theories about the world without enough evidence. If you listen to what I have to say, any of my podcasts, I describe the situation of the human being, the average everyday person, in the contemporary world in rather grim terms with respect to the truth. I see myself in an aquarium, in a fishbowl. I see myself surrounded by sources of information that may or may not be true, but I don't control them. The only thing I feel with any certainty vis-a-vis our society is that I am being lied to more often than not. And sometimes the liars are friends and family. Sometimes the liars are people you know, okay? They simply parrot the shit they're taught. They're taught something they think is true, and so they repeat it over and over again. There has been an incident recently with the governor of Virginia. They found, and you know, he's a Democrat, okay? He's a Democrat. But there was an incident with the governor of Virginia where they found a yearbook from like the 1980s showing him on his yearbook page with a picture of two people, one in blackface and one wearing what is presumably, purportedly, a Ku Klux Klan hood. So you've got this picture. And I think it's Governor, I want to say Governor Northam, but you have this picture on his 1980s yearbook page when I think he was in medical school or in college with a blackface person and a person dressed in KKK clothing. And so Anderson Cooper, the highly intelligent journalist at CNN, came out and called him a Republican. Well, he's not. He ran as a Democrat. He's a member of the Democratic Party. But how difficult is it for the average everyday person to pick that up and start calling him a Republican? And guys, I have no horse in this race. I pretty much am disgusted by every single party at this point. And that includes even the Libertarian Party. I think the whole thing is a corrupt mess. But it is a good example of how these things get slipped into people's heads. So when it comes to the truth or facts about reality, even your friends and neighbors who might watch CNN or Fox News or listen to NPR will pick up some piece of information and parrot it and say, well, oh, I heard he was a Republican. And all of a sudden that becomes a kind of source of information, not good information, not true information, but definitely a source. We have the hearsay of the hoi polloi. We have the hearsay of the average everyday person. But in terms of your condition and my condition, if you're like me, how do you know what the truth is about what's going on? If the government tells you something, how do you fact check the government? Oh, you're trusting journalists? Well, what if I told you journalists get paid by the government? What if I told you, which really actually came out, you know, in the last few years in Germany specifically, that there are lots of journalists around the world who are on the payroll of the CIA. Now, that's not a conspiracy theory. For many people, it's pretty close to a conspiracy fact. But if you come to me and say, well, Dan, if you don't trust the government, wouldn't the journalists say something? Not if they're getting fucking paid. Not if they're getting laid off right and left. Not if the purpose of their existence is for propaganda and that the entire ethos is broken. And on a deeper level, you could argue there's never really been much of an ethos to journalism. I mean, you have to be a pretty shitty historian to not realize that most of the history of journalism is what people might call yellow journalism. Most of journalism is about the salacious. That is the history of journalism. It is not the history of telling the brutal facts. It is a history of making money off of stories that are scary, creepy, you know, exciting in some really dark way that basically service the desires of Schadenfreude in the human psyche. That's journalism. So even with that, knowing they get paid, knowing that there's no real historical ethos to journalism to begin with, why would you trust what they say? Why wouldn't you ask questions about what they say? Why would you assume because someone is a journalist like Anderson Cooper and says that someone is a Republican when they're a Democrat that that's true? But the sad truth is a lot of people will believe it because they buy into arguments from authority, which is in many ways the principal means by which this propaganda spreads. It is technically a rhetorical, you know, a rhetorical tool and a logical fallacy, but argument from authority is the main tool. I mean, of course, there's bandwagon. Of course, there's the whole groupthink. But it is how our system works now. It's one of the reasons why when you watch the news, you see a lot of people sitting around and talking. You don't really see very much of anything like, you know, the man or woman on the spot with a camera. Yeah, in local news, you'll see that. But when it comes to these stupid fucking wars, when it comes to things that really matter on a deep existential level, what you end up with is a round table of talking heads, talking nonsense to each other, hoping that the average person picks that up and parrots the nonsense. So if you see the world in those terms, the way I just described it, the whole notion of conspiracy is itself a bit of a lark, or probably something that's maybe both real and unreachable. Like, yeah, you can suppose there's a conspiracy, but how would you ever know? And what if human beings, by their nature, tend to conspire anyways? Like, what if this is really the way we operate? In 1917, there were two revolutions in Russia. Little, I know, I don't want to disturb you with fucking facts, but let's just talk some facts. There were two revolutions. The first was of the Kerensky government. And if Kerensky had tried to end the war on the Eastern Front in 1917, in the spring of 1917, who knows what might have happened? But no, he wanted to continue the war to fight the Germans for whatever stupid fucking reason. In October 1917, Lenin was sent to Russia by organizations, by people with money. He was sent into Russia to be the vanguard, the spearhead of the second revolution of that year, the Bolshevik Revolution. A lot of historians have asked questions about this, but it seems as if in October 1917, a very small minority of people, maybe less than 100,000, probably closer to 20,000 people, took control of the Russian government by force. That wasn't democracy. That wasn't the majority. There was no vote. It was simply a group of people up to the point of the revolution in secret, planning in secret. You can't pull something off like that without organizing in secret. A conspiracy. the Bolshevik Revolution was a conspiracy. You might be a communist, and it might make you feel really good that they won, but that was a conspiracy. That was a minority of people in Russia organizing in secret to take power and to direct their interests against the interests of the majority. That's a really very concrete example of a conspiracy. And it's not theory. It happened. But again, from my perspective, these sources of information, the history books, the journalists, how do I even know that this shit is true? And it just creates a deeper level of both group and self-deception. I don't know that there's an escape. I really don't. I don't know that there's a way to say, well, if you look back on American history, you know, is it a history of people making free choices, or is it a history of conspiracies impacting our government? There are a lot of people who look back on American history going right back to the beginning, and they see a lot of conspiracies. You know, they see things like Skull and Bones, like the Illuminati, like the Masons. Do I think the Masons and the Illuminati and Skull and Bones are part of some deep and ugly conspiracy? I have no fucking clue. I have no way to know. And if you operate according to my perspective, if it's given to you, if people in power hand you something, it's probably garbage. It's probably garbage. It probably isn't something worth consuming, either intellectually or physically. It's probably garbage. So conspiracy is a real thing. There are actual laws on the books in the U.S. that deal with conspiracies. There are conspiracy theories that enter into court every single day of every fucking week all across the fucking country. Happens all the fucking time. Russiagate. Holy crap. Of all the stupid fucking conspiracy theories, let's talk about Putin controlling the election. And while we're doing that, let's think about the fact that we're getting ready to the United States is working hard on toppling a government in Venezuela. I don't give a fuck if you like Maduro or hate Maduro, if you think socialism sucks. I think socialism sucks, especially when it's socialism for the rich, which is essentially what you have in the United States of America. But yeah, we are currently working to undermine a government in Venezuela, and many of the people supporting that are the same fucking people talking about Putin undermining our election in 2016. I've said it before, I'll say it again. People can't entertain two thoughts in their heads at the same time any longer. It's too complicated. How is it you could speak out against evil Trump and some Putin conspiracy and at the same time support our government working to crash another country, like we worked on trying to crash Syria, like we successfully crashed the Ukraine in 2014 and replaced that government with one of our choice? There is a long history, extremely long history, of the U.S. government doing this. Honduras, 2009. Chile, I think Chile was 1973. Iran. You know, the list of the United States interfering in other people's societies in their elections. We did this in the 1990s, basically to keep a drunk by the name of Boris Yeltsin in power in Russia. You don't think Putin doesn't know that? You don't think Russians don't know that? That was a conspiracy. Russiagate is bullshit. Now, if you want to talk bullshit conspiracy theories, Russiagate is total frickin' bullshit. It makes no sense. The evidence makes no sense. That doesn't mean I like Donald Trump. Holy crap. Donald Trump disgusts me, as so many of these people in power do. But, you know, probably what disgusts me even more than Donald Trump are these crazy, stupid ideas that get floated that really are stupid conspiracy theories. Russiagate is a stupid conspiracy theory that a lot of people believe. A lot of people on the left believe. A lot of quote-unquote intelligent people in the Democratic Party believe that Putin had an effective, tangible, material impact upon the election in 2016. They don't care about, you know, Hillary Clinton's private email server that had secret documents on it in her basement. They don't really care much about, you know, the weird emails that, you know, John Podesta had about having pizza. I mean, a lot of it seems strange. It doesn't prove anything. It seemed really strange, though. They don't really give a shit about this stuff. They don't care. Okay? They really don't. They have their own conspiracy theory, and it's that an evil Putin destroyed their democracy, destroyed their freedom. And if only Putin didn't exist, America would be a freer, nicer place. If you're rational at all, you must know that's a load of horse shit. And that is a crazy, you know, kooky, crank conspiracy theory. Anyways, on this subject, I think we beat the dead horse. So let's organize secretly and figure out who gets what parts and who gets to eat first. Have a great Saturday.